Welcome to From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis, with your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro. This program will catapult your awareness in the mastery of power, influence, and persuasion. Journey to the uncharted conversations of human interactions and discover your winning capital. Now, from the boardroom to the bedroom with Suzanne Z. Pedro.
Hi, everybody. Hope y'all are having a good day out there. It's kind of rainy down south for the past 4 days, and it makes me wonder why you can turn on the music and feel so good on a gloomy day. Have you ever thought that music surrounds us? It defines us as a culture. Even from the army to taps to reveille, I mean, it defines us. It can also have a way to comfort us, to make us soothing, or to enlighten us and to make us jovial and happy in bad days like this when it's raining. Its origin has infiltrated us for centuries, for decades. I would say maybe the first time when primitive man first beat sticks together or a drum. So today, our program, which is so exciting, my first guest is Marquois, who can bring so much enlightenment to more than what music can do to soothe, but as empowerment. So I'd like to introduce her and can you tell us a little about yourself? I'm sorry. I'm losing my voice.
That's okay, Suzanne. I can keep talking for hours. Don't worry.
Okay.
Yes. My name is Marquois Brunet, and I'm in Panama City, Florida, as I'm speaking to everyone today. I have degrees in music education and music therapy. I have worked with all kinds of populations. When I say populations, I'm referring to teaching private piano and voice lessons to students of all ages. Plus, I have worked with a lot of specialized needs students of multiple ages in my music therapy practice, specifically learning disabilities, dyslexia, attention deficit disorder, autism, visual impairment, and I have one client right now that I'm working with vocally on her Tourette syndrome.
Really?
Yes, and you would think that that would be a huge interruption, and sometimes it can be an interruption into her music, but one of the things that we always use when we're using music in any kind of a therapeutic situation is to try and find the strength to get to the weakness, and she happens to be blessed with a beautiful voice, so we allow that voice to sing and use the music to overcome some of the Tourette's, and then you give her, quote, empowering songs to sing, to believe in herself, and to present. That way, she continues to be empowered by it also.
Well, you know, I just remember, I think it was like, I can't remember what season, but wasn't there somebody on Idol or one of those shows that was competing, and he did have Tourette syndrome, and he was able to go out and sing, and it was just remarkable. It made him feel like he conquering, and that's the second time I heard that with Tourette's. That's
right,
amazing.
And that's that using the strength to get to the weakness, which is kind of a mantra for anything that we're encountering in our lives. Anything that is our weak area, find your other strengths to get to that, to give you that power to get through, to reach whatever it may be.
Didn't Dr. Oliver Sacks, I mean, he was famous, I think, for writing the book about Tourette's and stuff like that, it's probably taking the left, I'm not doing this off the top of my head, I mean, it's left brain, right brain, and putting it together. Is that pretty much what music you'd say?
Yes, because they have proven that when you are actually performing music, that you are using both sides of your brain. And there's a whole difference from somebody who is performing to somebody who is listening. I talked to people about being active and passive participants in music. And first you have to understand that we encounter music every place. And music is one of my great passions. I cannot even begin to imagine what this world would be without music. It would be very dull and very boring and very quiet to me. Some people might not ever notice it, but I think that after a while they would truly sense that something was off. We hear music in the background every place. We hear it in the stores, whether we're shopping for groceries or whether we're shopping for hardware or whether we're at the drugstore. We hear it in doctors' waiting rooms. We hear it at parties. We hear it at special events. Any kind of sporting event always has some kind of music. Patriotic events, of course, any religious affiliation. If you're in a church or synagogue, there's music. You hear it at all of the great moments in your lives, the graduations, the weddings, and yes, even the funerals. Right. Music is every place.
Well, they do. A lot of the advertising companies, they do the audio marketing where they get that right song, the right beat, like you were saying, going into the grocery store or, you know, picking out an iPod in Best Buy or whatever, but that subliminal music,
exactly,
the tones underneath is motivating you to buy on whatever they want to do. Yeah,
to make you feel good and forget all of the things that are happening, so that you are open to suggestion. And that's when music can actually be used to be a little bit manipulative. But we live in a manipulated world because we're constantly bombarded by commercials, by ads, that sort of environment. With music, when they put the music bed on a commercial, for instance, they want the music bed to not distract, but to enhance it and to be there. Some people will hear the music. Some people will never even hear the music. But it's all part of the big sell. But most commercials that you hear, there's some underlying music.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just like it started off way back when they first had commercials with the jingles.
Exactly.
It ring, you know, goes in your head over and over, and you're walking around and you don't even realize you're singing it. So it really has gotten to the point where as far as advertisement is concerned, really embedded, besides culturally, like you were talking about.
Right, and when you were talking about the different places that you hear music, one of my favorite examples of music empowering to me is always watching the Olympics. Whenever an athlete is presented his medal or her medal, and they are standing on that stage, what is the first thing that they hear? They hear their own national anthem, which does two amazing and remarkable things. First of all, it's identifying the country, and it's reminding that person, that athlete, that they are part of something much bigger than themselves, that they have won this for their country, not just for their team, but for their country. Then the viewer, the people that are watching, realize that that person receiving the medal has done something for them. So it's reaching the person standing on the podium and the person sitting in their Barca lounger at home.
And you know what?
They have that sense of pride. They have that sense of empowerment that there is something bigger than them, just themselves. And they become part of that.
And you know what? That reminds me of when you saying that, they said 90% of the people that are involved, that wholeheartedly, they have that chill feeling, that moment of, like you just said, that the feeling of pride, that, you know, when you get that chill.
Exactly. I have always believed in the goosebump effect. And if I don't get goosebump effect when I'm doing something musically or with one of my choirs or with one of my students, I know that we are getting it right when I get the goosebump effect.
And then I also heard when you have the goosebump effect that people are more open. They have more, they're more open to things than somebody that's closed off.
They're experiencing it on a visceral level instead of just in their mind, just hearing it, if you engage in it. But I'm sure that there are people that sit at home and watch and don't feel that or feel anything. They are more or less oblivious to that. One of my favorite stories of a non-music person was when I walked out of seeing a movie one evening with a date, and I said, "Oh my gosh, that was so wonderful. I can't wait to buy the soundtrack." And he just stopped then and there in the parking lot and looked at me, and he said, "There was music?" And I said, "It was all around." He said, "Well, nobody stopped and danced and sang." And I said, "No, but the music was throughout the entire movie."
Oh my God! You know, those, that reminds me, because it said that people that aren't receptive. I'm not familiar with the person myself. Aaron Copland.
Yes.
Okay, so you know who I'm talking about. You're gonna have to fill me in on the.
He wrote "Fanfare for the Common Man," which is frequently used by political candidates, and he also wrote "Appalachian Spring."
Okay, they said, well, if you can't feel that goosebumps, to go ahead and listen to that. And those that who passively listen to music, they should feel something. So I'm not sure where that's, if you could expound on that. I'm really familiar with that artist.
Well, back to what I was talking about with the active and the passive, to me, the active participant is somebody that's actually involved in the creation of the musical experience, be they the composer, the musician, the performer, the presenter. The passive participant is the listener, the audience, which we all must have, or there would be no need for performers would have a very small lot to perform to. Mm-hmm. But the passive participant can become an active participant only when they listen and allow their emotions to open up to the music they hear. You have to first be receptive to it.
So,
and it's a sad world that we have a lot of people that close themselves off to many feelings and emotions. But when you allow
As being a therapist, how can you first begin? I have a minute left before we go to break. How can you first begin to get somebody that's so closed to open those emotions? That must be so difficult.
It can be a challenge, and once again, you go to the strength. You go to anything that's going to resonate with them. And sometimes you just have to, the old hunt and peck method on the typewriter. You just keep working and trying until you finally unlock something.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much. It sounds great. Can we get right back to what you were saying when we come back from a break?
Absolutely.
I'd love to hear more. Thanks.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Are you a business innovator, or are you just sitting on the sidelines? Tune in every week for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP. Host Bonnie D. Graham talks to a cross-section of the movers and shakers who are leading by example. They will share best practices and innovative ideas to keep you thinking and moving along with the best. Join us for Coffee Break with Game Changers, presented by SAP, Wednesday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Have you ever noticed that sometimes life just feels easier, especially when judgment of you or anyone else ceases to exist? What if you could function from that space all the time? What if gratitude is the key? Every time you are grateful for someone or something, a new universe opens up. What difference can you create in your life and the world from the energy, space, and consciousness of gratitude? Join us on Access Consciousness presents Beyond Saying Thank You every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, we were just ending on a note with this fabulous instructor in music therapy that so many people are just oblivious that don't realize how much music can empower you. Whether for loss, ADHD, whatever. She's going to continue. And this is Marquois Burnett. Hi, Marquois.
Hi, Suzanne. I'm glad that we're back together talking because we need to share some of the information we shared during the break there. And
absolutely.
I was talking about how important it is when I'm teaching music because I have a full studio of students that are, so to speak, quote, normal. Then I have my small private practice of working as a music therapist. But I can't imagine teaching any lesson without combining my knowledge of being a music therapist along with being an educator and along with being a musician. And to me, they have to go hand in hand. You have to not teach the instrument. You don't teach the trumpet. You don't teach the piano. You don't teach the clarinet. You teach the person. Frequently, I will have multiple children in one family starting an instrument at the same time. I don't teach them the same way because they are the same family, the same genetics, but they're going to learn differently. And I don't want that to be something that's competitive. They often will have their same books as the other person, but I'm always trying to do something that's a little bit different with each one to help reach them. And you'd have to talk about the idea that they have their certain wants and what they expect, especially when you're working with an adult. They're not doing it because their mother made them. They're learning music because it's something that they want to do. But I find it so fascinating, our discussion that we had earlier about the people that are not emotionally touched by music. And they can sometimes allow themselves to be reached by music and the emotions, but they're missing so much more.
Is that like autism, you know, that they can't get the autistic person, that they can't really wrap their arms around feelings or being able to verbally...
The autistic child does have the difficulties in the communication, but I think many of them are very, very compassionate people and very sensitive. So I wouldn't say that that's something, a generalization that you could say about autistic children. Autistic children frequently have a musical gift of some sort, that they can sometimes be very attracted to music and music sounds, and it can be a very positive experience for them. But I'm talking about even the general public. I'm talking about the people in the boardroom sitting around the table that are missing so much. You know, in this day of high tech that we live in, everybody has their own, quote, playlist.
Yes.
You see them in the park. You see them jogging down the street. You see them at the gym on their bicycles. Mm-hmm. You see them in spin classes. They all have their playlist. And everybody's playlist is a little bit different because they have found the things that will, quote, empower them, which is at the same time distracting them from the mundane task of what they're doing to make them not realize.
But do you think that also isolates them? Because, I mean, when everybody has their own headsets on, iPods, whatever, earbuds, I'm sorry, that they isolated. They're in their own little world, and that maybe they're not communicating as much with other people.
Well, it has created difficulties in that sense, but if you're really dedicated to your workouts, I'm not going to fault somebody that has more energy to get up there and jog and run more than I do. If that's what they need to do, let them do it. But I hope that they open themselves up to other kinds of music. When I was talking about the date that I'd had that had totally missed the music in a movie, There's so many movies. If you think of almost everybody, all of your listeners, I'm sure, have seen the movie Rocky. Can you imagine Rocky running up those steps without any sound going on?
No. I mean, and the production, the audio production, the sound score, everything it takes to produce audio, the music for production is, like, unbelievable. And for somebody to, like, I didn't hear it.
Well, but that might have been one because it is a stronger, more forceful, and it makes it energizing for everybody. And if you are a good viewer, if you allow yourself to be emotionally part of that movie and have that moment where you actually stop believing and the essence of disbelief that that person is Rocky, that's not Sylvester Stallone, that he really is that character, then you are becoming engaged in it. You're not being manipulated, in my estimation. You're becoming engaged in it. Same thing with a movie like Chariots of Fire. Same concept, that invigorating sound. When you think of the great movies that have flying segments in them, like Superman, Star Wars, E.T., music by John Williams, they just soar. It makes you feel like you can almost fly.
And what do you think about, I know this has nothing to do with music therapy, I just want your personal opinion, that, you know, the movie theaters, they put in these quad, you know, these sound systems where you're supposed to feel the music as opposed to the individual feeling it themselves.
Well, they're creating great sound systems, and I think sometimes it gets too loud and it's too distracting. It makes it become almost too real for some people's standards, but perhaps it's reaching the younger generation in a way that it would not reach them otherwise.
That's interesting.
I'm going to trust that somebody out there has done more research than I have on that particular thing.
I mean, you would imagine. I mean, they want. It seems like they want you to feel that beat, that you know, pulsation, that moment where it's leading up to the climatic point. So,
right.
I don't know whether that's cinematic or
it's a combination, because anytime you have that constant beat, think of that beat as pulse and as a passage of time. And it's marking down the time, like how much longer will it take to get to that moment? You know, when is the knife going to hit? When is the gun going off? When are the fireworks? When will the battle end? When will the battle begin?
When
will the two lovers kiss? You know, when is it going to happen? So it's preceded by music that will build and hopefully carry you along there.
That anticipatory, you know, that, like you just said, that's a wonderful analogy. I mean, you know, because you can almost, when you just said that, you could almost see, you know, visualize the knife or the kiss or whatever. And that's what it gives the imagery along with the audio. Okay, now you made it. Yeah, now I understand it. Perfect. Perfect,
good.
Perfect.
Hopefully some of your listeners understand too. And, you know, I was thinking this weekend as I was preparing to have this wonderful time with you today, some of my favorite movies that have utilized the empowerment of music within the movie. And lo and behold, the movie Love Actually came on, and I have always loved that movie. It's a great, great cinematic experience. And the little boy, Sam, who's lost his mother and his father, are trying to deal with they're lost together, and Sam has cut himself off from the world, but then he confesses that he's in love, and he's got a girlfriend, and he's only like in the third or fourth grade. But lo and behold, he has an idea. He says, girls always fall in love with the musicians. He's going to take up the drums, and he takes up the drums fully convinced that he will be able to be, quote, empowered to get the girl. And if you've not seen that, it is
no.
a wonderful, wonderful movie. It is beautifully done.
I got to ask you, not spoiling it for the viewers, but how does it end?
he gets kissed by the girl.
Oh, how sweet is that? And I mean, and
Another one of my favorite movies was The Holiday with Cameron Diaz and Kate Winslet. And Eli Wallach plays this elder man who is a screenwriter, and he's going to be honored by the Screenwriters Guild. They create some music, and literally they say, they call it Arthur's theme, and the man who does soundtracks for music and for movies says this will give him the confidence to walk right out there, because Arthur has used a walker, but he's now in training. He's going to walk up those steps and on the stage and do it, and he can. So they're just great visual opportunities to see it, but music can be used to empower anybody. The challenge is, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to speak over you. The challenges are those people that think, oh, everybody but me. And I just encourage people to change the station on the radio. You know, that script might not be working for you. Try another one. Try and let yourself explore. There's music out there. Find something that will make you feel. And buy into that suspension of disbelief when you're in the movies, when you're reading a book, and buy into it and go with it and see how it makes you feel. Because if music doesn't make you feel, to me, it's pretty senseless.
And, I mean, to ask you before we go to close, like, what is your most empowering moment as a music therapist? I mean...
Oh, I've been blessed with the opportunity to work with all kinds of students and disabilities, but I think one of my own most empowering times was when I was diagnosed in 2008 with a chronic form of leukemia, and I had to be my own music therapist. And throughout that ordeal and throughout subsequent chemo, which I am now still in, I have never, ever lost my ability to sing. My voice was always there.
Your voice is heard.
Yes, and I was always able to play. But the fact that I could create that voice was that made me feel so normal. It made me feel so, quote, not the sick one.
And not only that, you had a voice, you had a connection with God that was vocal, that
completely,
that you could take your emotions and actually, you know, give it forward and let release, you know, as a release.
Completely.
Wow, that's
so amazing. I think my own personal experience as a music therapist would be being my own music therapist, that was a very, very powerful thing for me to realize that I had not lost that ability. I might have to go and get blood all the time, and I might have to get chemotherapy and take huge amounts of drugs, but the part of me that was my soul, my music, was always still there.
Well, Marquois, thank you for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne. It sounds like
your music comes definitely from your heart and soul, and thank you for bringing it to others. I appreciate you being my guest.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to come back anytime you want me.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Have a great day.
You too.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
What sets apart VoiceAmerica.tv from the other video content providers on the internet? Choice and flexibility means that you can host your video content live or on demand on the main VoiceAmerica.tv channels through your own branded media player or your own private TV channel. We support multiple media formats, so all of your video content can be in one place. We offer a number of advertising and video packages. For more information, visit VoiceAmerica.tv. If you think you've seen online TV like this before, let us surprise you.
Do you feel like sometimes you just don't know where to start with your health and fitness routine? Every week, you can hear from people who have been where you feel that you are right now and find out how they moved forward and are living their best lives ever. It's called Lifestyle 360, and your host is Nicole Monier. Get inspired to take control of your health and your life. Tune into Lifestyle 360 every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Have you figured out what's not working in your business and why? Could you use a little help? Join your host, Tamaran, for Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Tamaran was struggling with the same issue, so she hired other business coaches and experts to help her see what she couldn't. Her journey is to keep learning, and she is here to share this with you so that we can all keep working together. Let's Figure It Out Intimately. Airs live every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, we've been talking today about music and empowerment, and we heard about music therapy, and what about when does music really, really begin? Does it begin with the heartbeat? How soon does it begin, and how soon can you take that little one and go forward? My next guest is Terry Gabriel, and she's a childhood music educator, and she has taken children from, I can't even tell you, she'll have to tell you, wee ages all the way up and development, and will describe the skills that helps empower them from early childhood into adulthood. So I'd like to welcome my guest, Terry Gabriel. Hey, Terry.
Hi, Suzanne.
Nice meeting you.
So nice to meet you. Thanks so much for having me today.
Oh, I love it. Thank you. There's so much that, you know, that I've read about different, you know, sometimes different controversies is like, does, you know, the fetus really hear music, or is that just like a gimmick, or what can you tell us about that?
Well, what we know is that in utero, babies can hear, they begin to hear at the fourth month of gestation. So they hear whatever it is that's around them. They hear language, and if there's music being made, they will hear music. So we always encourage, I'm a Music Together teacher. I teach the Music Together curriculum, which works with infants through up through kindergartners and even first and second graders. And we work with a lot of parents and caregivers and oftentimes pregnant women. And we always encourage them to make music at home and at the store and on the sidewalk and everywhere that they are with their babies as early as absolutely possible. We encourage them to be singing to their babies, even in utero.
Is that what you're saying, that the program is Music Together? Mm-hmm. Could you explain a little bit further? Is that just you talking about between the child and the parent, or I'm not familiar with the program?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Music Together started back in 1987 in Princeton, New Jersey, and it's an early childhood music curriculum. Infants begin, the youngest child I've ever had in one of my classes was 3 weeks old.
other than
what? Yep. Absolutely, and even younger when they come in utero with an older sibling. When a mom brings an older sibling and she's pregnant, those babies are there in class as well. And Music Together is based on a few different principles. One, knowing that we know that all of us are born with the ability to achieve what we call basic music competence. That means being able to sing in tune and keep an accurate, steady beat. And we know that if children are immersed in a rich musical environment that is primarily playful, that's a key, a very important key for children's learning. That's the way they learn. And that if they have the modeling of their adults, whether that be parents, caregivers, grandparents, anyone that they have a bond of attachment to, that they will be able to develop this basic music competence and be able to be joyful participators in the music of their culture.
Well, you know, it seems like it would make sense, because let's talk about like the primates or even primeval. We didn't actually have words, right?
Mm-hmm.
We had sounds and just gestulations, and from there, language develops. So
that's right. That's right. Music is a way of communicating. It's a form of communication as well. Absolutely.
I read something about it. It was called the honeybees, the way they communicate. It's called the waggle dance, and the way their tails vibrate tells the other bees where the honey is. So, I mean, the sounds and music or whatever, the
mm-hmm.
rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just limited to, you know, just us, you know, the highest species, which I think
that's
is...
That's right.
I think it's, you know, I mean, it says a lot that we evolved, but to be able to take what you do and to develop it into a program, I think that's just... how do people know, you know, I mean, what I'm trying to say is that a lot of people don't know this is a way to get their children to be more sociable, to be...
That's right. And that is one of the things that about Music Together is educating the parents and the adults about how to support their child's music development and some of the benefits that making music has for children. Music is so important for its own sake, but there are also so many other areas of development that it supports. Social interaction, as you're saying, is so important. Making music can help develop confidence and self-expression, and it can help children regulate themselves. We always sing a lullaby toward the end of our classes, which can help shift the mood, help calm the energy down, and that's a wonderful tool for a child to have on their own to be able to self-regulate. Making music is also a communal activity. It's something that people do together and interact with each other and express themselves to each other, with each other, and for each other. And it's a way of sharing an experience, a shared experience with your community.
And when you say that, when you share experience, it brings up your oxytocin, your serotonin levels, that those good chemical feelings and that oneness, as like you said, as a community.
That's
that,
right.
You know, as I'm wondering, just as a community, you know, doing it solitarily, you know, as a child, or doing it as a group, what's better?
Well, I wouldn't say anything is better or worse than another. As long as a child or an adult even is joyful and having fun, that's good. I think music lends itself to community. I think it is something that is particularly joyful when it's a communal experience, and harmonies can be made together in different rhythms that can elevate the experience when it's part of a group. Actually, an interesting fact that when a group of people make music together, their brain waves actually sync up, so they're actually starting to bond in a way that they're literally thinking along the same lines on the same way when they are in a room actually making music together, not just sitting and listening necessarily to a performance like at a concert or something, but a group of people that is singing or dancing and actually making music together sync up their brainwaves.
And I also heard that it improves IQ level.
Well, that's a little tricky.
Verbal level.
Sure, yeah, definitely can support verbal and language development. There's a lot of things that happen when a child makes music, when they learn. They actually learn music the same way they learn language. So making music, when a child makes music, it can and support that phonological awareness. So they're the where they hear through repetition the same sounds over and over and over again, rhyming words, things, alliteration. It certainly helps with vocabulary development and listening skills, things like that. Sound letter associations, not just singing the ABCs, but the actual sounds that music makes. So it certainly can support language development, absolutely, and emerging math skills as well. those rhythms are broken up into patterns, and rhythms are you know, two beats can be broken up, or eight beats can be broken up into four beats, which can be broken up into two beats, and children innately experience those things when they make music, so they're helping to develop those emerging math skills. It's kind of a misnomer to say that it makes you smarter or that it improves your IQ, but it
well,
can certainly...
Yeah, because we also know there's some kind of opposing music that makes it on the darker side that might not make it so much, you know, brighter. I mean, you know, more darker music. But I don't know.
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of interesting to for children to hear all different kinds of music. I'm not exactly sure if you mean this by darker music, but songs that are in keys that are not just major keys are actually really good for children. Sometimes you hear a song that's in a minor tonality, and it might sound, we might place the feeling of sad on a song that's in a minor key, us adults, because we have history that we have our own stories, our preconceived stories
right.
that we're putting onto that. But you never know how a child might experience a song. And the more of a musical buffet you give them, the more of a rich, different kinds of vitamins that you give them to experience in the earlier years, the better it is for them. I actually had a child who, whenever we would sing a particular song, which wasn't a minor key, she would cry. She would start to cry in class. And her mom was very, very worried about it at the beginning. She wanted us not to sing the song, of course, because she thought her child was upset. And we talked about it, and we worked through it, and mom played the song at home. And in the Music Together, with the Music Together curriculum, you take home, all the families that participate in the program take home the CDs and a songbook with them, so they have all the music at home. So mom would make sure to listen to the song at home, too, so it was something the child became familiar with. And she really started to understand, mom really started to understand that this little girl probably wasn't having a sad experience so much as she was being moved. She was being moved by this particular song, by the music was speaking to her in a way. And we don't know what it was that she was feeling, but we didn't stop that. We didn't want to interrupt that. We wanted to let her experience that.
I know what you're saying. I mean, because I read an article before we go to break real shortly. I'm going to say there was an article that says why sad music makes you, you know, it lifts you up because it's, you know, it's sad, but it's like you just said, you said it brilliantly. I mean, it wasn't sad to her. It was uplifting and it kind of made her happy sad. And I just think when, you know, somebody has the ability to move, you know, their emotions in one direction to the other, you know, like here's something sad, but be happy sad. I mean, that says a lot about her capacity, that, you know, she wasn't limited. And so I'm glad that you were able to, you know, show, you know, through your expertise and kindness that wasn't a bad thing.
That's
right. Was, you know, she's showing emotion in a good way. It's worse, I think, for children to, you correct me if I'm wrong, to repress and say, well, I don't, you know, you're a sad song, and say, well, I don't feel anything.
That's right.
You know, so when we're getting ready to go to break, Terry,
okay.
And when we come back, I want to talk to you some more about Music Together.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you in a few. Okay.
Sure. Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world. Join us every week for Paper Hope Next Generation. This is a program for all women, regardless of age, who want to connect and start having real conversations about tough subjects.
None of our topics are off the table. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics that impact women with specific focus on relationships, family, community, and self. Join Paper Hope Next Generation live every Saturday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Hope that you will be a part of the conversation.
Get ready to experience a more fulfilling lifestyle. Tune in to Direct Connect Empowerment with host Fee Mazanke. The show will feature guests who have changed their lives by using the Direct Connect coaching program or have worked with the same concepts that this program offers. By hearing how others have been transformed, you will be inspired to move forward. Direct Connect Empowerment with Fee Mazanke can be heard live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Become a member of VoiceAmerica.com. It's easy and best of all, it's free. Start out by going to our homepage or any of our channels and click register at the top. Once you've created an account and signed in, you can create your own custom library, opt into our newsletter, search by show, host, guest, or topic of interest, or browse millions of hours of content across all of our Voice America radio channels. Membership gets you more. Visit VoiceAmerica.com today to get started and tailor the listening experience to your taste.
This is From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis with Suzanne Z. Pedro. To reach the show today, give us a call at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You can also send us an email anytime to protocolpraxis@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Hi, Suzanne back, sitting here chatting with Terry Gabriel, who has an educator with the Music Together program. And if you didn't catch the first segment, she can give you a little snippet of what she does, which is fantastic that most parents don't know about. Terry?
Sure, yeah. Music Together is an early childhood music and movement program for infants up through kindergartners and even first and second graders, based on the principles that all children can achieve basic music competence, provided that they have a rich, playful musical environment that's supported by the modeling of the adults that they have a bond of attachment with.
And we were talking about during the break that I read a research article that babies are born to dance. Can you expound on that?
Sure, yeah. Babies, one of the classes in our program is an infants-only class for infants 6 months and under. And babies are responding to music almost immediately. We always encourage the parents to notice musical responses, and it may not be dancing in the way that we think of. It may not be choreographed dancing or purposeful rhythmic dancing, but babies do respond to music very, very, very early. Even their pupils may dilate, or you may start see legs moving or kicking or hands flailing. If they're old enough that they can get up on all fours, they're rocking back and forth. And it may not, most likely will not coincide with the rhythm of the music, but it is in fact a musical response. And over time, what they begin to do is develop a characteristic gesture. So this is a gesture that they repeat over and over and over again. And each baby has their own characteristic gesture, maybe opening and closing their hands from a fist to an open hand back and forth. It at first is a startle gesture, a sudden gesture that is a response to the music. But over time, once you see that same gesture repeated at least five times in a row, then you can call it your baby's characteristic gesture. And it's a good thing to be able to identify and to recognize, because you can really encourage your baby's movement or dancing, if you will, by imitating them. This is something that parents and adults, caregivers, do very instinctively when it comes to language. Once a baby starts speaking, they speak back to them. They repeat the words back to them, and then they put the word that they just said into the complete sentence. Well, it's the same thing with music and movement. When you see your baby making a movement that's a reaction, a response to the music, repeating it back to them encourages them and teaches them how to move. It validates their moving experience, and also singing, when they make those singing noises and you hear them making those musical contours with their voices, repeating them back to them validates that experience for them, and you can have a babble conversation with a baby long before they're ready to have a verbal conversation.
My. I'm going to throw this just way out here question. So do you think, like you were just saying, those movements babies do, does it carry out through adulthood? You know, do they? I have no clue. You know, it's just one of those questions out there, because certain things you do as an infant that's been repetitive and taught to you, I'm wondering if that carries out when you're an adult on the dance floor.
Well, sure. Yeah, you know what definitely does carry out is the disposition for it, the positive disposition for being a music maker. That is something that that we adults can pass on to our children regardless of our musical ability. All of us can make music joyfully, whether we may not all be Beyonce, we may not all be Mozart, but we can all keep an accurate, steady beat and sing in tune and have fun doing it. And if parents and caregivers are making music with their children in a way that is fun and joyful, that is what the child will take into their adulthood, is that music is fun, music is joyful. And the earlier we do that, the maybe more likely they are to want to pursue formal music education, so that maybe they'll want to learn how to dance at a more professional level, or to make music, to learn how to play an instrument, or to take voice lessons into their adulthood. But for sure, and that's not everybody will want to do that, but for sure everybody will and can take the joy of music, which we believe is a birthright. We believe that is something that everybody is born with the right to. To be a joyful music maker.
You're talking about the ride and stuff, but what do you think about, you know, you've got talented kids and, excuse me, schools that are taking away funding for, you know, that they desperately need it so they're not out on the streets.
That's right.
I mean, what a quandary. I mean, you know, finances or, you know, talent. I mean, what's your idea on that?
Oh, it is such a shame. It's always heartbreaking when you hear something like that. Though I am happy to say that I'm seeing more and more research on how important music is in the early childhood years, especially, and in brain development. So I'm hoping that will shift things a bit, so that the arts and music is not the first place they go to make these cuts, these federal cuts. That's why the whole concept of how, as I said earlier, music for its own sake is so important, but I do love to talk about how important making music is for the whole child, and how it can support all of their learning. If those people in power can understand that children who make music are actually going to be better learners, they're going to be ready for school, more ready for school earlier, and they will have better cognitive abilities, better language abilities, better mm-hmm. physical development, social emotional abilities that will help them in school for the same purposes, that hopefully they won't make these cuts so readily.
And plus, it keeps them off the streets and doing something that's constructive.
That's
but
right.
I understand you have a nonprofit organization yourself, Art Strides, right?
That's right, yes. A few colleagues of mine and myself started Art Strides back in 2009, which is a nonprofit organization that aims to bridge the achievement gap by providing programs like Music Together, which is a for-profit organization, to communities that can't afford it. Right now we're in two schools here in New York City, one public school. We have about 120 students that we're providing the program to, and also that's up in the Bronx, at the public school in the Bronx, PS 536, and also at the Cody Gifford House, which is a school for children with special needs on the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
Wow. So, like, how would somebody go about, you know, they have to be in that location, or it's just, it's, you know, just...
Well, that's for this particular program that we're providing in the Bronx. But if anyone wanted to visit artstrides.org, they could reach out to us. We have a scholarship fund if they were interested in applying for that. Or if anyone wanted to make a donation to help us continue to bring music to underserved communities, artstrides.org. They can find all the information right there, or they could email me directly.
Oh, that's wonderful. Before we go to close, I saw a funny thing, I think it was on Facebook. They said there's always one song that brings us the strip out in you. I'm not going to ask you that question.
But
I was just going to ask you, if you could choose only one song, what song empowers you?
Ooh, one song that empowers me.
Yeah.
I think I would have to say It's Raining Men.
I love it. High five, girl. That's great. I love it. Oh, I appreciate you, Terry and Gabriel. And you said the organization. Do you have a personal email site or?
Yeah, if they want to reach me through Our Strides, you can email T Gabriel, that's T G A B R I E L, at Art Strides. artstrides.org, and the program that we were discussing earlier is Music Together. You can always go to musictogether.com and find out any more information about that there.
Oh, thank you, Terry, Gabriel. Thank you for being my guest today, and I just hope all the parents heard how important music is, and the educators, and the government.
Yes, thank you so much. Thanks for having me, and keep them singing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in this week. Your host, Suzanne Z. Pedro, will be back again next Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for another edition of From the Boardroom to the Bedroom, the Protocol Praxis. We hope you'll join us as well.